His Love Christian Fellowship is excited to share this podcast with you. We hope you enjoy this message.
And your love endures forever.
Let's get started with a prayer. Father, I just lift up the evening to you. And Lord, I just pray that your presence, which is already here, would just be made manifest more clearly in our hearts tonight. Lord, I just pray the words that go out and the worship that goes up to you would just hit your heart and would unlock something this evening. Amen. So, if I'm loud, I'm sorry. But what I wanted to talk about this evening, what I felt like the Lord had put on my heart, I wrote out in my journal, and it was really powerful and it was really awesome. And then I left my journal at home. And even if I'd brought it, it was scribbled out really quickly, so I couldn't read it. So I'm going to do my best just to, work without the journal. So I have never really considered myself to be like a dreamer, like a prophetic person. I can count probably on one hand at the times that I've had dreams and visions that sort of carried that weight, like, whoa, that was from the Lord, that was significant. And so it's like, I guess maybe because it doesn't happen very often, when it does happen, it's easy for me to recognize. And I had one of those moments a couple weeks ago. And at first, I didn't immediately recognize the full significance of it. But as I continued to pray about it, I felt like, wow, I really feel like this is something that's critical to what our body is going through, that it's pertinent to where we are. And so I felt like the Lord just kind of wanted me to talk on that. So let me preface by saying that God is the source of all life. And if that's true, he's the source and everything emanates from him. And the closer that we get to him, the more we experience that life, then I want to eliminate as much distance between us as possible so that I can experience life and life more abundantly. So the vision I had was actually on a Sunday morning. I was just praying for our body, you know, just sort of praying that we would be able to clearly understand what the Lord has for us and that we would be able to easily step in to where he wants us to be in this next season. And as I was praying, I had a vision of a basically empty room with two things. The first was just a person, which I think represents our body. And the second was a wall. And the wall was actually, it looked like it was just made out of light and electricity and fire, and it was just sort of shimmering there. And I feel like that represented the power and the glory of God. So this thing was like a power source, and it was just giving off waves. It was just emanating. And so we were over here, and we could feel the thing just, you know, blowing off whatever this power was, and it was electrifying, and it felt good. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I felt like, as I continued to pray about it more, I felt like it was really, really important, not to us as a body so much. It was more important to God, who was in the wall, that we eliminated the distance. We were over there. We could feel him, but it was so important that we get closer. We didn't have time to waste. So that was what I saw, and as I continued to pray about it, I just continued to cover our body, cover our leadership, and pray it through. I saw this person move closer to the wall and eventually put their hands on the wall. And it was amazing because as soon as this person put both hands on the wall, it was like touching a hot wire. Power just whoosh, suffused the person, and it was overwhelming. And you could see that when the person put their hands on the wall, it almost looked like the palms were being burnt. There was fire on the palms. And so what's going on is as soon as we touch this source of power, we have an encounter with God on a scale that we never knew existed, that we never knew was possible. It's like we were several feet back before, and we could say, oh God, you feel good. Oh God, I think I hear what you're saying, but when we got so much closer and not only eliminated the distance but made contact, we were, I mean, I could tell, like, when this person, like, when we had our hands on the wall, it was so powerful that it's like, are we gonna die? I don't know. This is extremely powerful and it kind of hurts, but I never knew that this was possible. And what's amazing is that as we're standing there, sort of like unable to take it, like you've ever touched a large enough wire, you kind of lock up. That's kind of what was going on. It's like we're touching it, and it's like, I don't know if I'm going to live, and I never had this before. But what's amazing is that our immediate response in that moment of, am I going to die, was to eliminate the distance even further, and we put our faces on the wall all together. And so what happened there was, it was the same thing with the hands. Our face started to burn, and a proportionately greater amount of the power just blew through us. And that was the vision. And I feel like this is so, so important to where we are, especially because Teresa said something about getting rid of walls on Sunday. And I was like, whoa, yes, confirmation. But it's like, I think what we don't understand, or maybe not even that, but what I feel like I cannot overemphasize, is that it's not us who want to get closer to God. It's God who's saying, you need to come closer. You can't afford to not be closer. There is no time for you to dilly-dally and not get closer. Come on in, because time's a-wasting. And that's God's heart for us right now, to eliminate that distance. God's saying, I did not rend the veil so that you could take one step inside the veil. I tore it from top to bottom so that you could come all the way in. And what we understand as being the emanation of God's power, God says those are the leftovers. It was never my intention for you to stand 10 feet away and get the leftovers. My intention was for you to come all the way in and to have physical contact with me so that you could be at the point of not knowing whether you're going to live or die for the glory of my power. So it is time to eliminate the distance between us. And in the vision, when it started out, you had us on one end, you had God on the other. And then cluttered all over the floor in between us and all around us were just like a bunch of toys. A bunch of little things that we had let obstruct our path to God. And I felt like these are all the things that are fine in and of themselves, but which we have given too much authority over our lives. And they can be anything. They can be hobbies. They can be human relationships. They can be ministries, jobs, promises from God, whatever. Those things are excellent. They are gifts from God. He wants us to have those things. But they are not the Father. They are a gift from the Father. So if we are making those things, even if it's something that's really good, like a promise from God or a ministry, if you are letting that thing be the foundation of your joy, you've missed it. And it's easy to make that mistake. If you have a promise from God, and you're like, thank you, God, for this promise, it's easy to go from thank you, God, from this promise to this promise is what I have. This is all I have. And so if you make that mistake, your foundation becomes shaky, because that promise, that whatever it is, that person, your spouse, your family, your church family, whatever, it cannot be the thing on which your joy is based. Because everything in this world apart from Jesus is changing, is fickle. It does not last for eternity. And so I just feel like that's what the Lord's saying. There was more to it. Give me a second. Don't have the journal. Oh, I do want to take a moment just to honor my mom. I have an awesome mom who has always pushed me to excel in everything I've done. She pushed me in school, and she's pushed me in my walk with the Lord, and even now sometimes she pushes me as a parent a little bit. So, but just to excel, and I love her, and I honor her for that. But I remember, Mom and I were talking when I was a teenager. And I forget what we were even talking about, but she asked me, if you were on a desert island and you had nothing and nobody, what would your walk with the Lord look like? Could you still have a walk with the Lord? And I was offended at the time, probably because I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be and I was getting called out on it. But the question has stuck with me since then. And I feel like it pertains to what God's saying. If you were in a place where you didn't have any promises from God, your promises were taken away, your ministry was taken away, your church family, your biological family, you had no podcasts, you had no Bibles, you had no worship albums. If it was just you and God and that's it, what would your heart look like? What would your level of prosperity be? And I feel like that's important for us. And I'm not saying that God's, you know, going to take everything away and we're just going to be left destitute, but I think that's an important winnowing that needs to happen in our lives, to where we get focused, where these little things cluttered around our feet get moved aside and put in their proper place so that we have direct and easy access with the one true source, that we might have life and life more abundantly, that our prosperity, that our economy is internal, that it is based on the fact that we have an infinite, never-ending Father who is infinite, never-ending power, and it has nothing to do with the factors in our external circumstances. It is time to internalize and heavenize our spiritual economy. And so that's what I had. It's not a lot, but I feel like it's really important for now. So if we could have the worship team, I suppose, unless something else is going to happen. Jesus, I thank you for your word, God. Lord, I just thank you that you're good, God, and that you have plans for us and that your heart is for us to draw nearer and nearer, God. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would step up and that we would be able to manifest that vision, God. Lord, I pray that you would fire up every heart in this body, Jesus. Lord, to be consumed with zeal, to take hold of you passionately and without reservation, God. Lord, you've given the prophecy, God. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would step out and do our part. I just feel like, God, all we have to do is just give you a yes, and it will manifest, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray for the yes in every heart in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
I've always grown up, and it's funny, no one else maybe have heard you prophesy before. I've heard you a couple times, and every time it's just like, I know that I've heard from the Lord. And it's funny because I've heard that, and I know you. Your mom's like that too, and I think that's really cool. Okay, so I'm going to just jump right into it. I'm going to talk today about the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I'm going to start with Acts 1, 4 through 9. Once when he was eating with them, so Jesus has already died, this is Acts, so hopefully you know your Bible, but he's already died, risen again, they've been hanging out with him for a while. Once he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the disciples were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom?" I want to pause right there really quick. They've had a lot of training. They've had a lot of, you could say they probably have the best foundation training program that they've ever been through. They were taught through Jesus, and yet their eyes were still on worldly things. Is now the time when you're going to restore Israel? And I love his response. He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." But, and that, to me, I almost see that as a passing of Jesus just saying, it's not for you, it's none of your business. I don't know. That's between me and the Father. The Father, he's the only one. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer, until they could no longer see him. His last two things that he told about them was talking about the Holy Spirit coming. Don't move out into your thing. Don't do anything. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes. But now is this when the kingdom's coming? And he says, I don't know. That's between you and the Father. That's all him. You need the Holy Spirit. And he pulls him right back down into it. So if Jesus' last things that he said to them before he ascended was, you need the Holy Spirit, pay attention, you need the Holy Spirit, wait for the Holy Spirit, then it's probably really, really important. He told them to wait. They have all the training and ready to go out to the ends of the earth. But yet they needed the Holy Spirit. And yet Jesus says to them, wait, you need the Holy Spirit. We've all been baptized. A lot of us can speak in tongues. And there has been a movement in the past of where we've gone with the Holy Spirit. Especially me growing up, I think going to Brownsville, the different things that we've done. You're around it for a while and you almost become where that's a normal. And where it's like, it's really weird for me to go to a church or to talk to people that don't believe in the Holy Spirit. I can't even fathom it. It's like, I've always, you know, and it's just, you realize there's a different mindset. But so there's those that don't believe at all. But then for me, it's someone that has grown up around it all the time, the Holy Spirit. And that at times you almost can become unsensitized to it. Desensitized. There we go. Homeschool right there. Desensitized. So I wanna read what sensitivity is. I was just praying yesterday about what the Lord wanted me to share on, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit, and I heard him say sensitivity. So I'm going to read just the definition of sensitivity, and this is pointed towards us, but I felt like the Lord said, take this and point it towards the Holy Spirit. The tendency to become upset about things that are done to you, that are done to the Holy Spirit. He said about you or related to you, okay? The tendency to cause people to be upset. Oh, not, I didn't want to read that one. An awareness and understanding of the feelings of other people. And I felt like it was specifically that one, an awareness and understanding of the feelings of the Holy Spirit, the tendency to become upset about the things that are done to the Holy Spirit or what upsets the Holy Spirit, a sensitivity to him and a sensitivity to what he is. It is great to have a firm foundation, Bible, truth, devotions, etc., all of that, theology, whatever. It's great to have all that. However, the Holy Spirit brings the life. It is the life. The disciples had the Bible. They had Jesus to walk with. I mean, they had the best foundation. They had every tool imaginable. I mean, we are going back to read what they talked about because they've got all that information, and yet he says, wait until you get the Holy Spirit. So you can have all of the works, all of this knowledge, but if you're not sensitive to where the Holy Spirit's moving and what the Holy Spirit is doing, you may have some fruit, but you're not going to have the fruit that he's called you to bear. Pay attention. And so then the Lord just started just putting this on me. Pay attention to the moment, the Holy Spirit's movements. There is something in having patience in the moment when the Holy Spirit is moving, allowing him to flow, gleaning everything in that moment. Be sensitive to his will and overflow. And flow. I really believe that this is for me, and this isn't something so far-fetched that I can't grasp it. I can grasp this pretty well, to flow with the Holy Spirit. But I just really feel like the Lord is reminding us once again, doesn't matter how much information you have, how strong your foundation, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to bear fruit, to fulfill the destiny of where he's calling you. Do you feel like you've been passed over, that the moment has passed and you are left wondering where he is gone? The disciples felt the same way before Pentecost. He told them to wait. They had all the knowledge. I'm sure they were sitting there. We had all those parables. We have all these incredible things that he's been teaching us. You know, I mean, if anyone thinks like me, if you're dead quiet after all of that and you're grieving and you're thinking about it, they were replaying in their mind over and over his sermons. They were ready, and yet they waited, what, it was 150 days? No, 120 people. Okay, well, 10 days would feel like a lifetime to me.
I don't think they ate or drank. I think they just told us.
Yeah, so, but you think about that. Just dead quiet before the Holy Spirit, before the Father. All of this had just happened. All that trauma, all of the, not just the trauma, all the good things replaying. Is that the glory days? Was that it? Was that it? And the Holy Spirit comes and brings life to everything that he actually put in you. He brings life to the seed. And so what I really feel like the Lord was just telling me and was calling me was to be sensitive to where the Holy Spirit's movement is, to be sensitive to where he is, where he's calling you, what he's calling you to do, where he's moving you, and to be patient when you feel him. Maybe it's just wait for 10 days, apparently. I don't know why I always thought it was like 150, because I thought that was so long. Okay, well, it was 10 days. But be sensitive. Maybe it's sit and wait for 10 days. Or maybe it's hurry up, get up, and run. Or maybe it's something else he says. But to be sensitive to what he's doing and to be sensitive to cultivate, because you want nutrients. You want that life to go into the foundation, to the seed, to everything that's been planted in us. And you know what? Seeds go into the ground and die. And it's the Holy Spirit that breathes on it and brings it back to life. And a lot of times when you're in that seed point of dryness, it's really hard to have patience and to wait on the Holy Spirit and to wait to what he's doing. But it brings about a great fruit. I mean, you think about it, seeds are planted into the ground, but they have died from the fall. They went through all winter, and then it brings the crop the next year. And I was listening to a podcast by John and Lisa Bevere, and they were talking about going through the dry times and going through the dry seasons and going through the wildernesses, I think is what they kept calling it. And they said, you know, all their books that they've ever written didn't come out of the overflow of joyful victories. It came out of the wilderness. Everything they ever learned was in the wilderness. And I just really feel like the Lord's saying, be sensitive in the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. So I don't know, maybe this is all for me, but I really feel like it went even along with what Jared was saying of being sensitive with the Holy Spirit, flow with the Holy Spirit, and be ready to move with him. So, the whole time I was just reading this and just feeling like this over and over. And it's kind of funny because I wrote this down about 3 months ago. I believe it was. The Lord showed me a lot of this stuff. And I wrote it down and I completely forgot about it in my old journal. And then I was sitting last night just spending time with the Lord, rewriting it all. And it clicked this afternoon. I was like, he gave me this exact same thing 3 months ago. And I completely forgot it. And it must have been important that he brought it back up. And so I don't know if this speaks to anyone else, but to me, it definitely speaks to me of in the dry times, he's still there. The Holy Spirit's there. Be sensitive. Listen to him. And I wanted to play, I don't know if we could play a song. I had this playing the whole time I was doing this over and over, and it just really felt refreshing. Do you have that downloaded, the company? You don't? Can you use my phone? This felt like the whole time I was listening to this last night, it just was over and over, and there was it felt like the Lord told me this is one of those moments, just sit and be quiet and just bask in it. And it was a dry season, and I've been going through a dry season. You know, I'm working on trying to finish my house, and it's really easy to get overwhelmed with your own things and to get overwhelmed, and it's like, oh my gosh, my quiet time with the Lord, I have it every day, but that's about it, you know? And it's like, I'm going to just sit aside time to spend with Jesus. And I do. And it's like, that was awesome, you know? And you just move on. And it's like, just so dry. And I felt like the Lord was just saying that in that time of just this song just kept playing over and over to praise him, to worship, because the story is not over. It's not over yet in those dry times. When you're sitting there in that desert and you're like, oh my gosh, I just want to, I mean, am I saved anymore? You know, I mean, sometimes you feel like that and it's like, I know I am, but the Lord's saying, it's not over yet. Keep pushing in and praise him and rejoice because the Holy Spirit is moving if you see it or not. Is it working? Yep. I just really feel like, you know, even the word that Jared shared, just going into that wall and embracing it, I just felt like it was that you can trust the Father, you can trust the Holy Spirit, you can trust him. He's not finished yet with the work. He's not finished yet. You can run into it. He's got more. He's got more. He's got more. And I just saw that I'm going to yet praise you. I'm going to yet praise you, and I'm going to see the promise fulfilled. I'm going to see the dry bones live, the mountains move, and the darkness break. And Lord, I just declare that right now in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that we would become very sensitive, very, very sensitive to what you want to do, to your movement, to when you say rest, when you say praise me, when you say run. Lord, that we would become very people that is so sensitive to the Holy Spirit to move with your presence, to move where you move. And so, Lord, I just say right now, where my heart is, where our hearts have been, maybe it's a dry season. Jesus, I praise you. Holy Spirit, I praise you. Father, I praise you. That the work is not complete and you have more yet to come. And we embrace you. We embrace the wall. We embrace the Holy Spirit. And I just release the floodgates of refreshing. The floodgates of refreshing and sensitivity to the movement of God. To the movement and the flow of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. Yeah.